Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Rana here, letting you know that the day has come. This Friday on Patreon, it's the first meeting of the Carriage House Book Club with our first selection, 99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret by Craig Brown. We can't wait to discuss. Send us your questions, send us your comments, either through Patreon or at askrana@gmail.com. And of course, the Quarantine International Film Festival, hashtag Quiff. Continues with Brian's selection for this week, Diane, starring Mary Kay Place. Very interested to see what that's all about. We also wanted to let everyone know that for the next month, we will be donating $1 from every Patreon membership to Meals on Wheels America. We've got to remember our most vulnerable here. Patreon.com/AskRana.
Brian.
Hi, Rana.
How you doing?
I'm good. I have to say, I'm staying on top of my health. I'm washing my hands. I'm doing everything correctly.
You're staying in the carriage house.
I know. It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
And you could barely get in here before, and now you're staying here?
And have you noticed that no one has been coming and going from here?
That's how you know it's a pandemic.
What do you mean?
That
you let me stay?
That I have relaxed my regulations to the degree that you are living in the carriage
That's
house.
True, except when I got here, there were boxes and boxes of Amazon basic sheets and towels. And I mean, you're not even letting me sleep on the sheets here.
Well, I'm throwing them out every week. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah.
You've been throwing them out every
week?
Well,
Yadvina, thank God, I've got her on an immune booster.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I've got IVs coming every week to make sure that she stays on top of it.
Because
what I can't have is Yadvina
lose her, you'd
down.
Lose the world. No.
If I lose Yadvina, I lose the whole system. I haven't worn a rubber glove to clean in I don't know how many years.
I can't,
And I don't want to get back into that.
I told you I sometimes wear dishwashing gloves on the plane.
Was that part of your routine?
Yeah.
Why not just get regular? I will say a lot of people have been doing gloves, which
yeah,
I appreciate.
I do too.
Yeah.
Do you think isotoners is going to make a big comeback?
I do think gloves, I mean, probably they reached their height during the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918-19.
True.
But I think gloves are going to be a big fashion staple. Though to me, I never understand that because sure, you can take off the glove, but the glove's dirty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to like turn them inside out, throw them away, then wash your hands.
Yeah. You got to wash. I mean, the best thing you can do is wash your hands, mm-hmm, as discussed. But I wanted to let you know that I heard back from the JCC.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
Your case has been adjudicated.
I don't know what that means.
A-J-U-D, not A-J-E-W.
Okay.
Adjudicated, as in the judicial system, not the Jewish
system. Not the J-E-W judicial system.
Yeah, not exactly. Okay. Though it's a little bit of both.
Rana, yep. Please don't leave me on pins and needles here.
Well, the good news is
They
found
yes!
They found in your favor and not in Shelley Feinberg's.
This is, I feel like O.J.,
the bad news is that the center is closed until further notice because of the corona epidemic.
Oh my God. This is... So I guess there's only one gym for me to use after all.
There,
Rana, here's what I can tell you.
Yeah.
I brought some Clorox wipes with me.
Uh-huh.
I have some tissue, some Total Care tissues from CVS.
Yeah.
I'm willing to wrap myself in cellophane, but I'll be on that bike. And I appreciate your consideration.
Yeah. So we'll have to set you up with a Peloton profile now.
God. I'm telling you. This is mostly a very upsetting time in this country. It's a wonderful time in the carriage house.
And to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind if you use the infrared sauna every day. You can schwitz first if you want, but you've got to go in the sauna afterwards because it'll kill any bacteria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I keep it at about 118 degrees. So.
Okay. Well, how long do I have to be in there?
You know, 20 minutes. Can you do 20? As long
I mean,
as
I don't know.
Do
you know that scene where Michael Douglas is in this? Kathleen Turner locks him in the sauna in War of the Roses and he almost dies?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lock you in the sauna, but you could put your clothes, when you first get come back to the house, you could put your clothes in there for 20 minutes.
Okay.
Or you could put any of your items in there for
Are you doing
minutes.
That?
Well, no, I'm not worried about me.
Okay.
I'm self-isolating in my own home, so.
Well, can I
it's
tell you?
It's just Yadvina I'm worried about, but I'm making her put her clothes in when she comes. Yadvina.
What is she wearing around
Yadvina
the house?
Yadvina arrives. She goes straight to the carriage house. She goes into the sauna for
And just a bra and underwear?
In her clothes.
Oh.
Then she has clothes that she changes into for my house.
I see.
Yeah.
You've really figured this all out. I'll tell you who really isn't a panicker is the Lobsterman. He didn't know to wash your hands for 20 seconds. He didn't even know to wash your hands with soap, to be honest with you. Sometimes he just sticks them in the water, like in the ocean, off the boat, but and just waves them around.
In hopes to salt.
The saline, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did a whole thing. We did Happy Birthday to You. You can also do the rap from The Wizard of Oz. That is the same amount of time.
What's the rap from The Wizard of
the
Oz?
The house began to pitch. The kitchen took a switch. It landed on the Wicked Witch in the middle of a ditch, which was not a healthy situation for the Wicked Witch. You can do that.
I didn't know that was a rap, but I guess it sort of is. The precursor.
Spoken word.
Someone should tell the Sugar Hill Gang. They were the first rappers.
Correct.
Yeah, so now they know that The Wizard of Oz was before them.
And he's not taking as many showers, but he did on the houseboat.
I would have thought he was a lava soap guy. Do you know what lava soap is?
No.
It's for workmen.
Oh. They use lava. Like lye?
No, lava.
I know, but is it like lye?
Oh, I don't know if it's made of lye.
Does it burn you?
But it's only doctors and where doctors you have their soap.
Like pre-surgery.
And then workmen have lava soap. That's how they get all the paint and everything off their hands.
Are you saying larva?
Lava, like a volcano.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds like it would hurt. Rana, we have got some incredible updates today.
Yeah. And I do want to make sure that listeners understand we're not panicking.
No, we're taking it seriously, but we're not panicking.
And if you're looking for something to do. I mean, really.
Lock yourself
Come
up.
Come right over here to the carriage house.
No.
Patreon.com.
Oh, okay.
/AskRana.
That's right.
We're in the carriage house.
Yep.
We're seeing to your needs. We hope you've got nothing but time. You can go to the link right off of our Patreon page or off of our Instagram page and buy the book because we'll be talking about it next week.
And if you see me on Grindr, you'll read the full profile because it says before we meet, you have to douse yourself, spray yourself down from the gold can of Lysol.
No, is that what the Lobsterman's been doing?
Yeah, he doesn't like showers.
He doesn't shower, so he sprays himself in Lysol?
Yeah.
Do they have sores all over his skin from that?
It's burning a little. It's burning a little. But he doesn't like showers. He thinks they're wasteful. I think he thinks they're boring.
Showers are boring.
I think that's what he thinks.
It is funny. They are boring. If you don't have the right attitude, a shower could seem boring.
I could wake up 3 hours before an appointment and be all set, and about 5 minutes before the appointment, being like, I guess I have to get in the shower now.
Yeah.
I hate it.
But you love to bathe.
I love a bath, Rana. Yeah. I do.
Yeah. Okay, let's read some updates.
This one's a good update.
Well, we have, who should we start with? Okay.
Oh, I was going to, okay, well, you decide.
We've got Francis the Badger who wrote to us. We've got Kick Out of Legs who wrote to us.
I mean, Legs, this is the one I'm
Legs Pantyhose.
Yeah.
We've got, you'll remember way back, Archie. About the sheets, wrote to us wanting to know about the sheets.
Yep.
We've got all kinds of updates today. Oh, but the one we have to do first, because this guy deserves a correction. So remember vaginas?
Yes, of course.
So you said vaginas. When you were reading the reviews, you said we had one from somebody named Vaginas.
It looked.
And I couldn't believe we had a fan named Vaginas.
Well, I don't know if that's his real name, but that was Beginnis. The screen name.
Okay. I'm dying laughing, he says.
Oh.
My lovely grandmother nicknamed me BJ.
Vaginas? Okay.
BJ, Robert, quote, Bobby James.
Okay.
At a young age. The A is my last name. I lived in Arizona when I created the profile.
I mean, that confirms that BJs were not around in the 40s.
BJ in AZ was the name. Not Vaginas. BJ in AZ. Still laughing. Kiss, kiss, Robert.
To me, it looked like Vaginas.
Is that hysterical?
Well, I should have parsed it out better. I didn't know.
All right, here we go. This is the update everyone's been waiting for.
Is this pantyhose?
Pantyhose.
Okay. Sheer energy?
It absolutely is. And Liz, as you recall, won the Dash egg.
The egg cooker because of the L apostrophe eggs.
Rana, she said, this is so exciting. I can't wait to make myself perfect semi-soft hard-boiled eggs, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay. Rana had a couple of questions about my career and my record. I'm a criminal defense attorney in Baltimore County.
Okay.
Since I graduated from defending misdemeanors to defending felonies in 2015, I have had 15 jury trials. Most cases plead out and get dismissed before we get to the jury. Of those 15 trials, I've had 7 acquittals, 7 guilty verdicts, and 1 hung jury. The state later dismissed that hung jury case, so that one should be added to the win column.
Okay.
One of my 7 guilty verdicts was reversed on appeal. I always make a record for appeal.
I think these pantyhose are giving her confidence.
So we can move that one into the win column as well. Wow. This spring / summer 2020, I have my first 2 murder cases scheduled for trial, and both of my clients are completely innocent and falsely accused. So I'm working hard.
My worst nightmare.
And hoping for acquittals. May these eggs fuel me through the long days and nights of trial preparation. Attached is a photo of me in my office. The purple polyester Tahari skirt suit is currently at the dry cleaners in preparation for a trial. I'm starting later this month.
I love her.
You can see in this photo, I have a major run in my hose that requires lots of clear nail polish. And eventually I had to break into a replacement pair. Be careful zooming in. My skirt must have gotten hiked up during the photo shoot, and the exposure level is getting close to becoming a Shelley Feinberg situation.
She's an exhibitionist.
Sorry about that.
Yes, she is.
Love your show, Liz. P.S. Rana's clairvoyance is on point. I totally identify as an eccentric footsie babe, and I can't wait to discuss feeling old for young with my therapist.
I cannot believe you nailed that. In no world did I think that that was a fetish of hers.
Here you go.
Wow. And by the way, I saw that picture. She looks great.
She's adorable.
She really does.
And she has one of those, what is it? Magritte Duchamp, the phone.
Oh, I don't know.
The lobster phone. Or is that Dali, actually?
Oh, I don't know.
The phone that has a lobster on the as the phone.
I've never seen such a phone.
You sure you have? It's a piece of that.
I think it's, well, then why does she have it?
Because she doesn't have the real one. She got it at the museum.
Oh, I see.
Gift shop.
She stole it?
Yeah.
Oh, the gift shop. Okay. No, I don't know such a phone.
Let's do another update.
Okay.
So this is an update. This is sort of somebody wrote to us about one of our letters. Remember Fiona?
Yes.
With the transgender.
She's the transgender girl with the mother who
chose her name, and her mother didn't like the name.
Mother didn't like the name.
And her mother was struggling with that. And someone by the name of Spence wrote to us. He said, "My husband and I absolutely adore the both of you and your sensational podcast. Thank you so much for bringing much needed hot humor and smarts to the podcast universe. We don't care what you say. To the contrary, we think you are experts in the field of life."
Okay.
And so Spence was listening, and he made an excellent point, I thought, something he felt that we had overlooked, which is that he thought all of our answers were spot on, but he felt that we needed to take a pause for the mother and understand that she needed a little bit of space to grieve.
Oh.
That she had lost her son. Even though she has gained this wonderful daughter, she has lost her son.
Got it.
And I thought that actually was a wonderful point.
That's true.
Which is that she doesn't have to feel guilty just because it's not what her daughter wants.
Right.
She doesn't have to feel guilty about having her own feelings about it.
Right. As long as she sort of does that privately. Rana,
yes,
do you know that
course.
We got a review from Fiona's mother?
We did.
Yeah, I just saw it.
Oh, come on.
From Mama Fiona. This is Fiona's mom. Thank you so much. And I 100% agree with your advice. Thank you for the gift. And when it arrives, I will give it to Fiona as a gift from my friend Rana. My friends Rana, Brian, and Carl, who think she is just fabulous as she is. You're right. Fiona isn't too shabby of a name, and I will use it as long as she wants me to. I will try to remember Fiona Hill instead of Shrek's wife when I say it. This is a great podcast. Keep it coming.
Well, I love that, but I don't want her to give the gift. Well, there's 2 wax tablets in the gift. So she should keep one and her daughter can keep one.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean,
you're right.
But we don't give gifts to people to give to people.
No, you corrected me on that a while ago. Whenever I say share it, you say, why can't you just take something
because
nice for yourself?
Because your struggle deserves to be acknowledged as well.
Couldn't agree more.
She's doing everything all day to make Fiona feel comfortable and welcome, which is wonderful.
Yep.
She deserves something for her.
Yep.
And I just thought that was an excellent point that he made. That
totally.
Not that we were, you know, that we hadn't considered that, but that of course the mother deserves the space to have her private feelings about it.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to only be She exists outside of the family as well.
You're not a villain because you're struggling with something like that.
No.
You're a hero because you're struggling with it, not being an asshole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Terrific. Should we do some more reviews?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay. This is from Jesse Fitz. Excuse me. Fabulous. I cannot state enough how much I adore this duo and their podcast. I've been a huge fan of Rana ever since I saw her live in Chicago on the Throwing Shade Live Tour.
Oh, we had fun, didn't we?
And this
Chicago.
So fun.
Yeah.
And the Safi Glickman combo is one that I didn't realize how much I needed until their sage words wafted through my earbuds. I absolutely adore the joy, candor, and authenticity they bring to each interaction and advice question. Rana makes me feel like with even just a little effort, this trash-loving theater kid weirdo has the potential to be the classy, sophisticated version of myself that I always dreamed of. And each week I eagerly await their hot takes of every situation, gleefully punctuated with Brian's bird on the shoulder, Looney Tunes-esque hyperbole advice suggestions. Thank you both for the wit, warmth, and genuine wisdom you bring to the world. Kiss, kiss.
Can birds get corona?
No.
Who's watching the bird? Well, you're here.
Well, okay.
The bird's imaginary.
The bird is not imaginary. I take it. There is one dog at a shelter who loves this bird, and the dog's going through a hard time.
You're out of your mind.
So, thank you. Okay. This is
no birds allowed in the carriage house.
I know that.
Did you bring any of your astronaut food with you?
I do. I have a 1 week supply. I brought a 1 week supply, yeah. And I have a couple more weeks supplies at home, but I do. So if you ever need anything to inflate food wise,
yeah.
I'm here for you.
Though I did stock you, make you in the,
there
in
is
the
gas. So much Perrier in here.
This Perrier. This
thank you,
Ron. Cans of tuna fish.
It's wonderful.
There's Lipton.
By the way, tuna fish and olive oil, which is the way to go.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I went to the Italian. Everyone was going to the regular grocery stores. I went to the Italian.
You went
grocery.
To the markets.
Yeah. I went to the market.
That's exactly. Great. Dr. Claire says, come for the tops, stay for the advice. I don't know what that means.
My fabulous wardrobe.
Oh, your wardrobe.
Yeah. Unless you're a top and you haven't told
me. I am a top. Proud Carriage House All Access member here, simply doing my duty and rating and reviewing. 5 stars, of course. The highlight of my week is hearing that iconic intro music after hearing the iconic chiming of my egg cooker. As a psychotherapist, I earn my living listening to complex problems and often giving advice. I tend to cringe at most advice podcasts, fearing the advice will be unhelpful at best and harmful at worst. I'm delighted to say that the thoughtful and compassionate advice of Rana and Brian is so often right on the money. Thanks for all you do. Kiss, kiss.
Look at that, psychotherapist approved.
Exactly.
I mean, we don't know if we approve of that psychotherapist.
I know.
But they approve of us, and that's all that matters.
In any event, 5 stars only, my husband introduced me to Rana and Brian during our long drive home from a Florida vacation, and what a gem this podcast is. They have the unique ability to deliver sage advice while maintaining their humor. It's incredibly entertaining, leaving me wishing for more episodes. Of course we've become patrons, because how could we possibly miss any of this discussions at the carriage house, excuse me. Keep up the great work. Kiss, kiss. Patreon.com/AskRana. It's there for you. $5 a month.
Here's another one I love.
Do it.
Much love, Rana and Brian. This podcast gives me so much love and so much life. I love their relationship. And this is from the Trevor, excuse me. I love their relationship and recommend this podcast highly. My favorite part is when Brian chooses the questions and has Rana read them. She gets so caught off guard, but is always able to laugh about it.
By the way, have
I
got a doozy for Rana to read today?
Love what Brian brings out in my favorite gal, Rana.
Can I? Was that it?
Yeah.
I have a song that someone wrote.
Oh boy.
As a review. Ready?
Okay. We've been very musical lately. On Patreon, we've been very musical.
Now, I don't know if they're using this word right. You'll know. All the things you do to me and everything you said, I just can't get ganug. I just can't get ganug. We slip and slide as we fall in love. We slip and slide as we fall in love. And I just can't seem to get
ganug
of this podcast.
That's fabulous.
Very cute.
I like the regular song too.
I do too. Yeah. I love that song. Look at you. Wave. All right. AskRana.com/Patreon. Just kidding. Patreon.com/AskRana.
And we want to remind people about our book club, which we're doing, because now's a great time to read a book.
Now is the, and by the way, to read a light-hearted book that also has some historical weight to it.
99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret.
It's unlike any biography you'll ever read.
By Craig Brown.
Yes. It's so wild and charming and funny and a little bit melancholy, but it's worth it.
And I've noticed when I go to Amazon through the link that it offers me $5 off on Kindle. I don't read on Kindle, but it keeps offering it to me. So maybe other people will get that too.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
All right, Rana.
Should we get to our guest?
Let's do it.
It's a fabulous one.
It's a good one.
Brian.
Rana, when it comes to taste levels and what we listen to and what we appreciate,
yeah,
we are the standard bearers.
Okay.
Well, you are.
No, we could say we.
In fact, we like this person so much, we had her on our
own show. She has been one of our first guests, one of our inaugural guests, because she's a doll. If she's not your best friend now, she's about to be your new best friend.
Allison Rosen is, or will be, your new best friend.
She is hosting Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend is an award-winning podcast.
That's impressive.
Well, she's an award-winning interviewer.
She's an amazing. She gets you to say things that you don't expect to say.
You can't believe you say that. I mean, but that's because she comes from a journalism background.
Yeah, exactly.
And she it is incredible what she gets out of people.
Yep. It's a bi-podcast, which means it's two episodes a week.
One I was comes hoping out, you were going to get that right.
One comes out. Mondays are a one-on-one episode. Thursdays are a roundtable featuring a cool group of friends. They're all hysterical. So Mondays and Thursdays, Allison Rosen is your new best friend. Everywhere podcasts are available.
Kiss, kiss. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Brian.
Rana, this guy
Wait a minute.
We have today has a... You could just say a word, he'll have a story for it.
You know, that is so true. He's a raconteur. That is exactly right.
Absolutely.
He is a good old Southern raconteur.
Completely.
Yeah.
He's not only a brilliant actor and comedian and everything
Wait
else.
Wait a minute.
He is like a true man about town.
Do you know that I time my visits to Los Angeles now so that I can see Golden Girls? I've seen it four
He's
times.
He's Sophia in that Golden Girls
four
live.
Four times.
I can see. I can't even picture you at that venue, Rana.
Are you kidding? Come on. You know I'm high-low. I like the high life. I like the low life. And the show itself is high low. It's in a low venue and it's a high quality production.
Rana, do you know that I spend every New Year's Eve with this person?
This is part of your Palm Springs gang.
Part of my Palm Springs gang.
Is that right?
We have the best
time. The
PS
crew.
We watch the worst movies and we just laugh and laugh and laugh.
I would like to be invited, except
you're welcome to come.
Also, I probably wouldn't.
You would absolutely hate it, to be honest with you.
No, but I always like your cute videos that you post from the grocery store.
Yes, every year we do.
It seems like you're having a blast.
We're having a blast. This guy is the ultimate.
So now we have to say, who is with us today? Friend of the show.
Someone whose name is really this and didn't change it.
This is his name. There wasn't another one in Hollywood, so he got to keep it for some reason.
Correct.
Sam Pancake.
You both are too kind to me. Thank
you. Is it Samuel Pancake?
Joseph Samuel Pancake III.
There we go.
The third.
Yes. Is there a fourth? Did anyone in the family have a...
My father used to say to me, well into my 30s, possibly 40s, just never acknowledging remotely that I was gay, we keep saying like, when are you going to have another little Joseph Samuel III or fourth or whatever you are? Not only did my father not really know my name, I'm literally named for him.
Yeah, he had the same name.
Would they call you Joseph or Joe, or was it always Sam?
Always Sam, because Daddy was Joe.
Got it.
He was Joseph Samuel
Pancake.
Oh,
that's very Southern, Daddy.
Daddy.
Joseph Samuel Pancake II.
Tennessee Williams just entered the room.
Did you call your mom mother?
No, mama.
Mama,
but we
of course.
Say grandmother, not grandma or meemaw.
My mom would say grandmother, but also said mother and daddy.
That's my mother calls her parents mother and daddy, and so do all her siblings. But my daddy was Joseph Samuel Pancake II, not Junior, because he was named after his grandfather.
Okay.
And ideally, once the...
Oh, so it skipped a generation when it came to him.
Skipped a couple.
And you were visiting your mother and then just what?
Yes.
Drove up?
Yeah, I did. I jumped in a...
So you're the kind of guy that would jumped in an Uber from West Virginia?
I didn't go that far. It's a rental. Dulles. I fly into Dulles. Yeah. I drove up.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah. Did they screen you?
They did the... Well, Actually, they screened me more at a massage place I was at the other day than they did at the airport. Excuse me.
What happened?
The woman pointed, it's a one place of those guns I go to a lot. It's an Asian place. I trust them.
An Asian place. Do you mean a Thai massage place?
I said Asian because it says Thai massage, but I know from their conversations, especially recently, they're Chinese Americans.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And the lady pointed a gun and she was like, temperature. And I was like, what? And she said, temperature. And this was like about 2 weeks ago. Beep on the forehead.
Where do I get one of those?
It was.
I should be screening Brian every time he comes into the carriage house.
I'm here to stay, Rana.
Well, except I put him in the sauna. I have an infrared sauna.
When Brian comes in,
he has to do 5 minutes in the infrared sauna. We'll have you do it before you leave.
I would love to.
I've done it before. Have you seen in China
how now they're wearing those? They're taking the Arrowhead big water bottles, like the big cooler water bottles. They're cutting off the bottom and putting them over their heads.
No.
I'll show you a picture right now.
But I did see a ridiculous picture of a man walking around. He had like a hula hoop with fishing wire on it. So there was a perimeter that people couldn't get close to.
In China or here in America?
It was here in America.
Of course. It was. Because it's hobo Halloween for dum-dums.
Yeah.
You know.
No, fully.
I have had the
Brian, I wish you never showed me that. Wow. It looks like the robot from Lost in
Space. Which
gives
me a great idea, Rana, because I could... Will you save your extra...
You're going to start selling them?
Yeah.
No.
Save your extra water bottle container so I can cut the bottoms off.
Do you have a saw capable of that?
I would love to, except you know I use glass water bottles because I have I use the Mountain Valley Springs.
It tastes better that way because I don't drink out of plastic a lot anyway.
I'm not interested in choking a
turtle.
I'm
not scared. I have been through some shit in my life. I won't get into all of it. I've had some bad things happen. I'm fine. I get very tiny things throw me off. I'm one of those.
Yeah.
Something beyond my control, which is to a degree.
Yeah.
It's beyond our control. I get very calm.
Yeah.
Some people have that reaction. When it's so overwhelming that it's sort of like, what can I do?
Or are you just good in a crisis?
I'm good in a crisis. Yeah. I get very calm. And again, I'll tell you, you might know some of this, Brian, but I'll tell you off some just really not funny, bad things have happened right in front of me.
Yeah.
In my younger days.
Anybody get murdered?
No, suicide. Yeah, well, that's a lot of stuff. But anyway, also lost so many people to AIDS.
I'm just hoping that you and Rana will have the opportunity after this to have a really long lunch together because she wants to hear all these stories.
I do, actually.
Oh, do you?
Of course.
Good. So do I.
If I'm being made fun of
or not. No, not at all. Yeah, I'm making fun of you about talking about your dead friends.
I'm just remembering in New Year's... You vicious gay comedian.
I mean, it is funny.
You were
isn't
not.
It funny that so many of Sam's friends have
it
died?
It is not funny.
It's so funny.
No. Yeah. Sam, please, what were you going to say?
No, early on, I was just like, and I know it's apples and oranges and sexually transmitted and this whole other thing, but I'm a gay man of a certain age. And like 15 years of people dropping dead and just like so many people I loved, I was close to in my family. And then like, this is,
awful.
It's terrible. Yeah. But like, it was 10 years before the government said the word.
I loved your tweet. I retweeted something like that, where it was like, oh, the government's not responding to like a virus that is killing people in America.
Yeah, after two weeks.
And gays.
We've been there. Yeah, and the gays are like,
first time?
Yeah. That's pretty
It's so true.
Now, what's going on? You're on A Million Little Pieces or A Million Little Things.
A Million Little Things. He wrote A Million Little Pieces and then went on Oprah and got just crucified.
Well, he actually wrote it. That was the thing.
I actually wrote it and I lied about my drug experience.
For James, what's his name, he wrote it for me.
That's right. Yeah. No, you're on A Million Little Things.
Yes, which the season finale's in a couple weeks, which I won't be. I was in, got written out, still get paid. That's the glory of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then I am with our good friend Drew Drogi. He and I are in season. Is this time to talk about career?
Sure, you can.
Season 3 or 4.
There isn't really a time. We usually get right into the advice.
No, but Search Party. You're going to be on Search Party.
Just to pump it up. Promo. Plug it.
Oh, well, sure. I love that show. And Charles Rogers is a friend of the show.
That's right. As is SVU,
as I call it. Sarah Violet Bliss.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sarah Violet have the same doctor, and we. Did you see? Anyway, it's a different story. We have the same horrible character of a doctor. So anyway, so Drew and I are in seasons 3 and 4. We have little parts in that HBO Max this summer, Search Party. And then I guess I can say this. I told you about that one job on Tuesday, but I can't say that yet. And then I guess I can say this. I'm recurring on the new Saved by the Bell.
Oh, that's my exciting. God, that is so exciting.
I've only done one. Hopefully I'll shoot one or two more considering what goes on in the world, but it's very funny.
And oh, I can't wait to see it.
Completely different than the...
Who's doing
like
it again?
To know who's,
get this.
Yeah.
This is all in Deadline, so I can say this. It's all 30 Rock and Arrested Development and
super
Simpsons
smart
people.
Writers.
Tracy Wigfield
oh,
is
she's
the
amazing.
Showrunner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow. She's something else.
Yeah, it's so it's a spoof of high school shows, yet Mario and Elizabeth, who was lovely, and Tiffany and Mark Paul are all also in it.
And are you playing like a parent or a
shockingly
principal?
This is usually the Drew Droege role, and I think I got it just because he's doing a show in New York. I'm playing the theater teacher, the theater director.
Oh, how fun!
Which really, I've never played
that
before.
Is so exciting!
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Oh, I can't wait. And so where do we see that?
Peacock.
Peacock.
NBC
that's
Universal.
The new NBC one.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Summer,
we've got to get into.
Anyway.
You know what? This isn't actually the Sam Pancake Show.
No, it isn't.
This is actually the Ask Rana,
Rana
Show.
I warned you.
With Rana.
Okay. We actually.
Brian is also on the show.
Isn't it called Ask Rana, but Sam will talk? That's not it.
It's called Ask Rana with Rana. And Brian.
I get. By the way, nearly. I would say once a month. I almost get fired. So Sam,
once a week,
you might have a job.
Yeah.
Soon.
Well, if
but
I
we
can,
need, people,
we're going to start. Yes,
it's. I'm glad we heard about Sam's quarantine and we heard about Sam's career. But people have real problems.
We're going to start with this phone
Let's
call.
Let's get into this.
This person would like to remain anonymous.
Okay. So well, you're the one who usually says that and then says, "Is that you, Christine?"
When you're we get right. On the no, phone. I know. And then I actually say their real name.
Yeah.
So we're just going to call this person Bobby.
These names that these people come up with. Okay. All right, Bobby. Let's call Bobby.
Oh, but I have to press call. Rana, I'm still not used to it.
Are you going
to
love this?
Oh, I know. I love this very much.
Everyone loves this song.
It's
just the best song.
Hello?
Hi, Bobby. We're calling you Bobby.
I love it. Yes, this is Bobby.
Oh, a female Bobby.
It's a B-O-B-B. It's Bobby Brown.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love some of
your
cosmetics.
A female Bobby like in the new company on Broadway.
Correct.
Well, for now. Welcome.
For now.
Yeah.
Bobby, you are here not only with me, but with the...
That is not Sam Pancake.
Yes,
that is Sam Pancake.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Look at that.
Can I see the person?
No.
Oh.
It's not... I mean, you literally can't.
Oh. Hi, yeah. Bobby. It's so nice to have you.
What do you know, Sam Pancake, from, may I ask?
I just feel like the rug got pulled out from
under. And does anyone want to say hello to me?
Yeah, Rana Glickman's here also.
Hi, Rana.
Hello, Bobby.
Very big day for me. Very exciting. What do I know Sam from?
Everything. He's in everything.
He's an everyman.
Yeah.
He's fabulous. Aren't you lucky?
Once I heard Lauren Graham on a podcast and Sam was there, I think, and then I just went down a rabbit hole and...
That tracks.
And I'm at the bottom of every rabbit hole.
He's waiting with a clock around
his
neck.
And a few glory holes.
Yeah, girl. That's my mama.
Okay.
Bobby, what's your question for us?
Okay. So it requires a little bit of backstory, so bear with me. But basically... Okay.
They all say that, yeah.
My parents were married for 30 years.
Okay.
Before my dad came out of the closet.
Oh.
That was about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it was... A bit of a shock for everyone, but I'm super proud of my dad. We're very, very close. And it was particularly surprising for my mom. And they, not a super amicable divorce.
Yeah.
I would say she's still kind of bitter. And I get it. I wish everybody got along, but they don't. And it's especially bad whenever, because... my dad is getting married. It's so the kind of, I think it was easier for them to like get along in their divorce state when he wasn't partnered. And
right. When he
now
didn't
that
he's found someone else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. That's just part of our reality. The actual question is this. So I now have an 18-month-old son.
Congratulations. Mazel tov.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And he loves books, book obsessed, not that interested in his toys, but like when guests or babysitters come over, he runs over to his bookshelf, he picks out his favorites and like insists that they read with him. And many of his favorite books at this point were given to him by his grandpas, and they have LGBTQ themes. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Marlon Bundo, the John Oliver book about gay bunnies. Anyway, they also often have inscribed the first page saying like, with love from the grandpas.
Yeah. Step one of the agenda. Yep. Keep going.
The indoctrination. So, yeah.
Those are some of my son's favorite books. And like I said, he's very insistent about people reading them with him. My mom is actively uncomfortable when my son picks those books out. And like best case scenario, just like is very passive about it and like doesn't really engage with the book. But like the worst case scenario is just that she'll say like, I hate that book, and just sort of have a really negative tone around those stories.
Okay.
And I don't know if she's reacting to the themes. I would call her like a passive ally at best.
Yeah.
Or just like the fact that she knows that the grandpas gave him those books.
Yeah.
And like, my son's not going to perceive a difference either way. So my question is, how do I handle this when she visits? Because
have you ever discussed it with her? Discussed any of this with her is my first question.
Yeah. I used to be much more like confrontational about it with her when things would come up. Like I'm very close with my father.
Yeah.
We're, you know, very similar, and I'm close with my mom too. And she just has a very passive aggressive kind of style of relating. And whenever I'm pretty upfront with her, it just doesn't seem to have an effect, really. She just
right.
kind of.
But in this instance, we're not really talking about you, and we're not really talking about her. We're not actually even talking about your father. Yeah. We're talking about your son.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're talking about the world that you're creating around him.
Yeah.
And what you don't really need to do is create negative associations with these books or, you know, and therefore the transference of that being potentially with the lifestyle. I mean, it sounds like she stopped short of that. She's not saying homophobic things or that girls should be with boys none of that. But she's saying, I don't appreciate having this shoved down my throat when I come over here, and I don't appreciate the fact that Brian made a joke, but that they're indoctrinating him into their way of life and that they're getting their tentacles into him, you know, in this space or whatever it is. Your mother obviously has quite a bit of anger that she needs to resolve about this thing because, look, I mean, I do think you have to be careful. I think it's great that your father's moved on. I think it's great that he's happy. I don't think it's wrong that your mother probably feels like she in some ways squandered 30 years of her life with a guy that wasn't being upfront with her. I think she's not being upfront with herself if she says that she never had an inkling that your father was gay, because I just don't think in an intimate life that that's, you know, or that they had some kind of an arrangement where don't ask, don't tell. Or, you know, I'm not saying it was that explicit, but probably this didn't come as the biggest shock to her. But the thing that she's really upset about is that for a long time, her life was not truthful. And that but she also participated in that. So fine, whatever. That's her problem. She needs to resolve it, because if she wants to move forward and be part of this family in a productive, healthy way, she has to deal with that. So that's one conversation you could potentially have with her. Maybe you don't want to, and maybe that's not what you're asking. But in terms of around the books, there's sort of two solutions to this.
Burn them.
Number one. The German,
and not just the kids' books.
The German
all
approach.
Of them. That's right.
Burn all the books in the house, and buy his son a PlayStation.
Sophie 451.
That's right.
I think there's two things. One is you have to talk to her. You have to, and you have to say, look, I know you don't like this. I know you don't like that he brings these books over, et cetera, et cetera. These are the books that he's into or whatever. I know that this is still a soft spot for you. It's not for me to tell you how to heal, blah, blah, blah. Though it's up to you how much you want to get into that conversation about what she needs to do for herself. And maybe she could use a wake-up call. But you have to say to her, whether you realize it or not, even just your mood and your energy around this activity is placing a negative connotation onto this. This is a reality of our lives. You're the grandma. There's the two grandpas. It's not going away. And what I don't want is to program my son to have a negative association with any of these things.
Yeah.
What I would love is if we could find a book. There's got to be another book that isn't about a gay bunny that this kid likes. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but
Peter Rabbit.
Yeah. So we move over to the asshole rabbit. Peter Rabbit. I hate Peter Rabbit.
I know, mischief.
You know, I hate a mischief maker.
Me too.
What a schmuck. Ugh. The Velveteen Rabbit about Scarlet Fever.
That's way too sad. Yeah.
Banicula. That's kind of fun. Do you know Banicula?
No. Are you kidding? When I grew up, I got laughed at in class for coming in and saying, "This week I read Bunny Kula."
Well, you should have been laughed out of there. Oh, wow. Bunny Kula.
It was tough.
You Banicula got what you deserved.
Banicula is terrific. It's about a vampire bunny who takes all the food out of all the blood out of vegetables. Yeah, but anyway, the point is, you need a book that's just for him, and you need to try and find a way to enforce a routine that's just something for her to have with him, so that there's a book that he loves that they read together. And I know, and look, part of this is she's just going to have to deal with this and get over this because he's a fickle little kid. He's 18 months old. He's not going to like the same book all the time.
That's true. This is probably more temporary than you think.
Yeah. Okay. But what's not temporary is putting negative connotations onto the lifestyle.
What's not lifestyle? Yeah. The life.
Oh, not life. I apologize. You not know, lifestyle, but.
I did not choose this.
The life. Well, no.
But wouldn't you now?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I would. I would still choose it.
But the grandmother feels that he did choose this.
Exactly. Right, right.
I mean, that is part of the problem. I don't think this is like, I think it's wonderful that this guy's getting a second act, but it's tough for a woman to have a second act when you've been married for 40 years.
May I offer something?
Yeah.
Does she have, and this is a hard conversation to have with anyone in the family, I know. Does she have a therapist or a counselor or someone to talk to?
Yeah, well, she needs one if she doesn't have one.
Your mother?
Sure. And did she at any point post-divorce?
So she, this has been a topic of conversation before for sure. She tried it like once and like, that's not for me. And it's not come up again since.
Generational. Yeah. It's very hard.
Have you, and I'm sure in the past 10 years you have, I'm sure it does bother your mother that her heart was, you know, broken really. And that she did feel like the last 30 years, I don't know if she still thinks this, but probably at some point felt that the past 30 years was sort of a sham and that she got an unfair shake. And it sounds like you're really close to your father. Have you just told her that ever that must've been a really hard time for her?
It's an excellent question.
What a good question.
Because I think that if you haven't,
you need to.
Yeah. Because obviously your dad was a victim of this circumstance, but your mom really was too. And I think probably if she's not going to therapy, she could at least use like a really healthy dose of sympathy or empathy or understanding. And then I think in that same conversation, you could say like, I want to have a closer relationship with you. And I want my son to have a really close relationship with you.
Yeah. We want you to be a part of this. And the only way, obviously you're close with your father and sounds like you like his partner and they're part of your family. And we want you, wouldn't it be nice if you could get past this anger that you have with dad and that we could all find a way to move forward together and really enjoy this time. My son is only going to be young for a short amount of time. I want all of his grandparents in his life. I understand that you still have a, you know, anger issues about this, but that's not the environment that I want here and I want around him. What if it really is, it seems like it's such a small thing or such a huge thing, but really it's just a frame of reference shift. And if she can just get past that, everyone could be a lot happier. It doesn't mean, obviously for her, she feels like she's giving something up. If she tells him it's fine, it's like it never happened and she doesn't get to be angry and she doesn't.
She's not acknowledged.
Yeah.
Her feelings aren't acknowledged.
And no one's acknowledging the fact that she might spend the rest of her life alone. When she thought she was going to spend the rest of her life with someone else.
Or you know what? Tell her, just throw her into the deep end and do this.
Of the pool?
Well, yeah, you could start there. And you could say before, wake up, and then throw her in the pool. But also metaphorically.
That's what my family does. Only it's a river.
Throw her in the river. Put some stones in her pockets.
All your sins have been washed away.
Right, yeah. It's 10 miles down the river when you come out.
Put some rocks in her pockets and just... see her to the river.
No.
But also, Virginia Woolf. But also, what I was going to say you could do is get some Robert Mapplethorpe reprints and say, Mom, get out of the house. We're doing Trading Spaces. And just put up some pictures everywhere of men's assholes and their balls getting tied up.
Wow.
And like all that stuff. And just say, do you think my son reading is as big a deal as this?
Okay. You know what? Wow. Get your smut brain out of here, Brian.
No, but maybe give your mom a little sympathy and empathy for this, because that's a hard life. It really is. I'm sure your dad's a lovely person, and really, obviously, the last 30 years have not been kind to gay men. So I think...
Nope.
But your mother, you know, deserves a little love in this too, and just a frank conversation.
And have you ever had a breakup or anything like that in your life, and your friend said to you, get over it, we're tired of hearing about it?
Sure, yeah.
And did it feel good? Or did you feel like you hadn't good? You just hadn't made peace with it yet?
Yeah.
So this is a 30-year marriage and the dream of a family and 100. Look, do I think your mother needs to move on and change your frame of reference?
Yeah.
No question. I mean, 10 years is crazy.
That is a long time.
And she's bringing all that negativity into the house. But the birth of this child allows for a shift, another shift, where you get to not say, this is me, your child, saying to you, get over it. This is me with a new family unit that I want you to be a part of, saying, I need you to move past this. And if you're not going to move past it, then no one is going to enjoy this time that we spend together.
I have one more Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
No one's going to like it.
Shit.
But I think it could be effective. The next time you see her, just say, I have been so stressed out about you not reading these books. I am on meth. I started driving to the park in the middle of the night. I'm selling my body just to buy drugs. And if you just would read these books, I would stop this lifestyle that I am deep in.
It's a shame you're not a therapist, Brian, because you'd be fantastic.
Thank you. Bobby, that's another idea. But I think you can settle this score. And the worst case is I think you can settle this score.
Will you let us know what happens? But unfortunately, Bobby, the bad news for you is it's time for another uncomfortable conversation. And if you have to think about how much it really bothers you, because, I mean, I would not want that energy around my child at such a formative age, especially when this is such a big part and a beautiful thing that he has these wonderful grandfathers that love him and give him books. And, you know, this in some ways, this is such a wonderful thing. And it's a wonderful time, but she needs to get on message, or she needs to not come around as much. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to threaten her just yet, but that is a thing.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's going to be hard.
Nobody
to
wants sourpuss around.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. Bye. We love you.
Bye, Bobby.
Bye, Bobby.
Much. Love you too. Thanks, guys.
Sam, how about that? She knew you immediately.
Yeah. Is that Sam Pink? Well, yeah.
All I could think about was my sister, who was with Brad for 15 years and left him for Caitlin.
And how'd that go?
So now what's this?
She's still with Caitlin. Well, it's a different situation because then Brad, who I think I never liked.
Yeah.
He was out of the family. So it was sort of a different situation. But the hardest adjustment was for, I don't know about my parents' feelings. I can't speak for them. And that's a different topic. It was hard for me. Because my sister, my older sister, who I love and have an amazing relationship with now, there had been moments in my life where, like, I felt very, she was not homophobic, but just, in high school and college, I realized now that she was kind of just being
scared.
Tough on me because she was scared for me.
Yeah.
And she truly is someone who I think she's a writer, and she wrote this amazing essay about the gender identity in our family, because the first three kids are gay to maybe transitioning, and the bottom three, the younger three, are all very heterosexual.
Huh.
And how the gender identity was kind of switched up in the top three. And she wrote this line about herself, which it was, I don't feel like a boy. I didn't feel like a boy. I didn't feel like a girl. I just felt like me. And that's kind of the person she is. And she's in a very good relationship now, but I was surprised how much weird homophobia and anger and upset it brought for me when she did that.
Yeah.
Our relationship was different then. I didn't like him. He was, and it's so we're fine now, but it was rough. Yeah.
And she's a professional figure skater.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She's an ice dancer, I think is the term.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a professor.
She's an author. Oh, that's what I meant. Not professional figure skater. She's a professor.
Do you get professor and professional figure skater mixed up a lot?
Well, anytime someone says the word pro, I immediately think of Michelle.
Well, that would explain your college experience.
Not an ice dancer. I think of Tove Lundin when I think of ice dances.
Sure.
The pride of the Isles.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. I'll read this first one because I'm dying for you to read the second one. Hi, Brian and Rana. I guess. Just kidding.
Excuse me.
I thought Brian would get a kick out of that. Big fan of you both.
Who are these people?
Brian, Big fan of you both since your early videos with Jeffrey Self. And Rana, you are a revelation ever since I first heard you as a guest on Throwing Shade.
Mm.
I live in Rome, Italy.
Oh.
Originally from Australia, but I moved to Italy 2 years ago to get closer to my heritage and reconnect.
Oops.
What a time to be in Rome.
Oops. Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've both been following the news. But as of Tuesday, the whole country's been in lockdown. Oh. This is day three of working at home, and I'm starting to go a little crazy.
Yeah.
Not only is work more complicated, but not being able to go outside and enjoy the incoming spring weather is just ridiculous. I live with two people. One housemate I adore. The other I cannot stand. He moved in a few months ago, and I've been doing my best to avoid him. Now we're stuck together for at least the next 15 days.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, I need help. Help with the housemate. Help with staying sane. Help with everything. Who better than to ask than the two of you? Thanks for being so entertaining. PPS, there are over 10,000 employee... Oh, no, this was... Sorry, that's wrong. Thanks for being so entertaining. Jay, that was part of something else that I deleted. Okay. Well?
Well, first of all, I want to say we've been chatting in Italy.
We have. We're on the charts in Italy.
That's amazing. It's going to go up now, probably.
Just because of this one guy, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe no one's listening to podcasts except this one guy.
It might be true.
So now we're chatting.
Well, you know what? The first thing you could do to your housemate you hate is get them on Ask Ronnie.
Well, you can play this answer for them.
Exactly. You know how this is going to end. They're going to be 15 days very much in love. This is a Netflix movie.
Love is Blind experiment.
It's a movie. It's a movie screenplay. They're going to fall very much in love.
You could turn this into a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Or a murder suspense thing like Shallow Grave.
That's anyway, true. And that's you could just say that they died. Okay.
The first thing to pop to my mind was dismembering the body. That was the absolute... There's two options.
I thought we were about to get reamed for going too dark.
There's two options here.
I almost spit took a cold brew all over this mic head. Sorry, Dante.
You can either buck up and stay in your room and read a book and stop worrying about what everyone else is doing all the time. Or tell this guy to put his dish in the sink or whatever he's not doing, or you can murder him. Those are your two choices.
That's true.
And in Italy right now, I don't think they'd mind a bit if you just dropped the body off at a hospital or you just dropped it in the Tiber River. No one's even going to know.
Amanda Knox it.
I was about to say, call him, say just when they find the body, just be like, I have to be honest with you, he was a huge slut. Because they don't like that over there.
And no, they take a dump in the toilet. Remember that part?
Yes.
Oh, they didn't flush. Yeah,
so gross.
They didn't flush. Foxy Noxy.
I mean, you're right. You just have to do something to...
Put on your headphones.
A friend of mine that moved there 6 years ago, Susan, you have to have a permission slip, basically, and they saying why you're going out and what you're doing and when you'll be back.
And you can only elect one person in your household to like go to the grocery store.
Yeah. Is that right?
There's like a vote. I hope they're switching turns.
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
I mean, it sounds like you just don't like this guy. Or maybe you love him. Who knows? As Sam was suggesting. But this is a moment for composure and getting a hold of yourself.
And honestly, every time he pisses you off, just in your head, think about... Like, every time he pisses you off, just make it a Pavlovian response that you just go in your room... And you get yourself off.
Also, these are the times we all, I mean.
He's going to be masturbating 14 times a day. This
fair
guy.
Enough.
Great. What better way? He'll take a ton of naps.
He's got nothing else to do.
That's
true. Yeah.
This is the times of your life where you learn about yourself and what you're made of.
Yeah.
This was a pretty young person, I think. Everyone's young to me. But like, I'm getting that age. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And you make a game of it. You make your peace with it. You write about it. You... Whatever your creative outlet is, just make a, you know, throw a pot that looks like stinky old, you know, Antonio or whoever he is.
Sure. Sure.
I should be a therapist.
Start a podcast.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your new podcast, Sam?
Oh, it's called Sam Pancake Presents the Monday Afternoon Movie. And it's me and a pal, a funny friend, sit down and separately and then watch a 1970s TV movie, usually horror, supernatural, bad, campy, good movies, and we talk about it for an
fabulous.
Hour.
Fabulous.
And it's, you'll find it
wherever podcasts are sold.
A pod are sold and cast.
Except it's free.
Except it's very free.
Okay, this next one.
Yeah, I think you have to be patient.
Yeah.
I think it stinks,
it's
of
a
course.
Lesson.
And the other thing you could
that
do.
That would suck. Oh, that would suck.
You should also be focused on trying to find a new living situation.
Definitely. That will
That's
give you a goal.
Somewhere you could put your energy.
And also, just pretend like it's Big Brother and like, set up a confessional in your own room. Just talk to your camera about what just transpired.
Yeah, though you don't want to, you know, you don't want to humiliate this guy.
Oh, no, I'm not saying to publish it. I'm just saying
to get it out.
Yeah.
Rana, I don't know if you're going to like this next question. I feel like you might want me to read it, but I really want you to read it. Do you want me to read it?
I know what this question is.
How do you know?
Because I saw it in the inbox.
Do you want me to read
and
it?
And I want to say something, Brian. I'm disgusted that you would put this in front of me.
Okay. Let's just go to another one. We could do another
now,
one.
No, why don't you read it, Brian? Because it's so filthy and smutty and disgusting. You think I'm not looking at the mail? I'm sometimes looking at the mail, even though it's really your job.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is lately you try to slip me a Mickey, as they say, which is you try to get one past me and then you think, isn't this funny? Because this has been going on for weeks. I had to go on and read the mail now because every time you put a letter in front of me, there's either an F or a C or some other dirty thing.
Yeah.
And now why don't you read this one, Brian?
Well, now I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, oh, what was I going to be? Excited?
Hey there. We should have stopped there knowing that was going to be crazy enough that someone would say hey there to us.
Yeah.
Hey there.
Don't we? You should have stopped there.
I know.
Yeah. This is you trying to, you're always trying to razz me or get me.
I am. I'm always trying to ruffle those feathers.
Yeah, you are. Well, ruffle your own for a change.
Ronna, you're never riled. That's the thing.
I get riled occasionally by you.
I am an enthusiastically divorced mother of two who's been dating my dream hunk for 6 months.
Hunk.
I am so turned on by him, it is truly changing my worldview. He makes me believe in things I never thought I would. For example, anal. I also love going down on him and nothing gets me wetter. Mm. But before
you... You know, you're a real schmuck.
What have I walked into?
This is aggressive. This is actually aggressive that you wanted me to read this.
Because when I reread it, I was like, I guess she shouldn't read it.
Dante is flushed. He's red in the face.
Dante's going to quit. But you're just trying to, you know, I'm starting to wonder about your capacity for self-sabotage. You get fired once a week here. And now you're trying to get Dante to never come back. And I've told you, talked to you about harassing Dante before.
How is me reading a question about...
When he's sitting right here, he has to hear what you have to hear. And last time you asked him about his dick and his balls, if I remember correctly.
Ronna, that is not true at all.
You said, do you know what I'm talking about, Dante?
I am ready to go to the courthouse and play my tapes. I am ready.
Your receipts.
Exactly.
Show your receipts.
I've got proof that you are.
Can you reread the last sentence, Brian? Because I don't remember where we left off in the letter.
I also love going down on him and nothing gets me wetter.
Okay.
But before you chalk this up.
As a classic
tale of a woman finding her prince.
Yes, it sounds like a classic to me.
I get extremely...
A divorced mother of two having anal sex, blowing this guy all day. A classic tale of a woman finding her prince. Okay, go on.
I get extremely insecure about initiating. Here's my psychosexual thought process anytime I'm horny and he's oblivious.
Oh, God.
Maybe I should just start going down on him, but what if he doesn't want it right now and he gets nervous and can't get hard? What if he doesn't want it and is afraid to tell me, so I'm putting him in this awkward position to pretend to want it? What if that happens and subsequently he thinks I'm too much or too slutty or something and he starts to pull away?
Subsequently.
What did I say?
Subsequently.
I literally turn into a scared little turtle baby and end up sitting there feeling
this
desperate.
This person isn't a fan of us.
Desperate and sad that he isn't initiating when it's all in my head. Please help, horny and helpless.
This is Penthouse Forum. This isn't Ronna and Brian.
I shouldn't have chosen this. I'll be honest with you now. I'm really sorry.
Filth. Horny and helpless. She doesn't sound that helpless.
No, it did. And also, he's... Yeah, really, it sounds like you're getting off now.
Yeah, this is
It also sounds like he's not your Prince Charming if you can't vocalize. If you're divorced and you have two kids, you're not 22 years old, okay?
Yeah.
You can't vocalize when you want to get involved with him.
That's true.
This is your problem. This is something that you need to deal with. First of all, I hope you have a therapist. But this is, look, good for you. Good for her that she has this exciting sexual relationship. Truly. Wonderful. That's terrific. And it sounds like it has opened all kinds of exits and entrances for her.
Sure.
That she was not previously going in or out of.
Yeah.
But it has opened her world. That's wonderful. It's expanded her worldview.
Yeah.
She feels desired. She's having a wonderful time. That's terrific. But the fact that you don't feel that you can initiate or that you can vocalize to him, this relationship is not going to last based on that entirely. If you want this relationship to last, you have to find your voice. You can't just simply be a sex object for him when he wants. You can also be that. But if there is something in you that is not being fed and that you want to at least feel that you can have some agency in this relationship, you need to deal with that.
Totally agree. I think, listen, we are all responsible for our own orgasms. And I would just say this guy's clearly down to clown. So just like throw on that red lipstick, that white powder, and that red wig, and Ronald McDonald all the way.
I was going to say Annie, but you went even further.
Or Annie, dress up like
I
Annie.
I was thinking of Baby Jane when you described that.
Sure.
Whatever happened to Baby Jane.
Put them
Jane.
All together and see what happens.
Annie, whatever happened Baby to Baby Jane, Annie. And Ronald McDonald. It's really all the same.
But in all honesty, if you do want this relationship to last, you need to find your voice and figure out how to ask for what you want.
Yeah.
And also to how to deal with the disappointment when not everybody is looking to play 24 hours a day.
That's true.
Because I mean, life gets in the way. And if you don't do that, then you just, this is just a reactive relationship. You are reactionary to his wants and needs, and it'll be a flash in the pan.
And I just say, it's like a joke that guys are always down for sex, but like there are many, yeah, there are times when I'm just not.
Yeah. Ever get a letter from the IRS?
Exactly.
Oh, whoops. I don't feel like I'm not interested at this very moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But right. I have a feeling like probably 6, 7, 8 times out of 10, this guy is down.
Down. I mean, not to be vulgar, but like it's rare that I'm going to push away. I can get in the mindset.
I'm going into quarantine.
Ron, depends on who it is.
The next one. This one.
Brian.
I know. I don't know why. I shouldn't have. It made me laugh so hard.
I'll read it. I'm not afraid.
Dear Ron and Brian. I was groped by one of my coworkers about 9 months ago.
Oh, God.
Took me a few weeks to build up the courage to go to one of our bosses and report the incident, and then it took the company about 3 months to do an investigation. In the end, the company ended up, quote, verifying and substantiating my claims, and I was moved to a different group within my department and promised that there were repercussions for him as well. They cannot tell me what those repercussions are, and they are not visible to anyone I work with. Also, it is garbage that I had to change jobs. My new job is fine, but not exactly related to my area of expertise, and I am still in the same building as this man, so I see him in the halls and meetings. Jump to 2 weeks ago, a manager from another department, in different building, came to me offering a position in his group that is really interesting. The catch is, the wife of the man that groped me is also in the new group, and we would be working on the same team. Do you think I should take this new job? If I let her presence in the group stop me, I feel like I am letting this incident continue to control my life. Thank you for so much for the advice. Jay from Minnesota. I hope this is the funny part, the PS, because there was nothing funny in the first part.
Oh, I don't think any of this is funny.
You said read this one. It's so hysterical.
I did?
Didn't he say that at the
end? I thought I just said read the next one.
Oh, I thought you said read this one.
Oh,
it's
no,
so
this one's
funny.
Not funny.
Okay.
No. Sorry. I apologize if I said that.
P.S. Here are some additional details that might make a difference. According to my manager, the wife is aware that this incident took place. Oh, and they were in counseling to address his behavior. Also, this happened 4 months after they got married. This is the second marriage for both of them, and her first husband cheated on her with a close friend. Additionally, they met at work when they were on a project together, so he has a history of trying to set up relationships at work. Lastly, she also occasionally works with my husband. My God, what is this?
Honestly.
Where are these people? Who has been wonderfully supportive through all of this and thinks I should definitely take this job because it is a big opportunity. PPS, there are over 10,000 employees at our location, and her being in this group feels like the plot of a bad sitcom.
Yeah. Honest to God.
Wow.
That is, first of all, shame on that company for
Keeping him, yeah.
Reassigning her somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like this guy should, A, go, but B, should have been the one to get the job that wasn't necessarily in his area of expertise or that he was passionate about.
Yes.
That's wild to me.
Yeah. Well, that's cause for litigation, to be honest.
Honestly, no kidding.
Yeah. I don't know whether you want to get into that or not, but for sure, you could speak to an employment attorney not acceptable at all.
And that HR already substantiated these claims.
And you're in an even better position because they already substantiated the claim, so they have a record of that.
Yeah, you shouldn't be the one to get punished here. And also, I don't understand why they can't specifically, I don't know if that is a legal thing, where they can't specifically tell you what his repercussions were.
I'm sure they can. The repercussions are nothing. They told him to stop groping people, and then they let him keep doing his job because he's obviously like a salesman or something, and they like the way
his numbers or whatever.
Yeah, this guy goes out and gets drunk and grabs people at the office party, and then the other half of the time he's on the golf course. Selling things to people.
I'm so curious what people do at jobs like this. I have no idea what happens.
I know. That, like, because this is obviously a big corporate job.
Yeah.
And I just don't...
It's also, though, it sounds to me like this is like a Target or a Walmart or one of these companies where everybody in the town, or GM or whoever,
AT&T,
everybody works for this company.
Got it.
If this is 10,000, if her husband works there and he works there and her husband works there and people are meeting at work, this is a company town. So there is that extra layer of politics on top of that where you can't really probably say, go get a job somewhere else, or they should, but they, you know, they should have moved him around. This is like a Catholic priest. They should have moved him way to the hinterlands instead of, you know, just letting him keep his job and telling her what they did was they validated her feelings by telling her she was right. And then they did nothing about it. Mm. And they thought that was enough.
Also, finally, justice was served now a few weeks ago with Harvey Weinstein getting 23 years. The hope is that this empowers people to take action. You did take action, which is great. I just can't believe your work didn't follow through harder. I feel horribly for you in this situation, and I feel horribly for this new wife.
It's not awful. Great.
And I don't know. I mean, it just, I would honestly, I would probably call a lawyer or go to legal aid, or if you can't afford a lawyer or something.
Yeah.
Because this is crazy.
Well, if this, what do you think, Sam?
I honestly don't know enough about corporate culture to know what to say. And I don't know what they do or make. If it's a creative situation, a film set, something that we've all been a part of, or you and I have been a part of, is like we, and you to a degree, but like we know what that.
To a degree.
She did a voice on
New York TV. I had my own TV show.
You did. And I'm sorry. I'm acknowledging that now.
To a degree.
I mean, to a large degree.
Yeah.
She was the intellect sphinx on Big Mouth. Rana
was. It's true.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm a voice on Big Mouth.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Friends in high places.
I have a big mouth. So, but my point is that, like, I don't know enough to say with the whole, like, you know, what should be the line of, or the turn of events here in terms of, like, what her options are and can she get a, you know, are there NDAs? All the stuff that happened.
Can you go to HR? I just hate to put any burden on her, but it seems like you go to HR and be like, this is actually unacceptable.
This is
the position I'm in.
Okay. So here's the thing. This is why the Weinstein stuff is also so interesting. Also because it redefined the what is considered harassment and how, you know, and the boundaries of, but I did this, but I didn't do that and blah, blah, blah. But control ultimately and power and how you exist when you need something within your career and how you're going to get it. Because everybody wants a leg up in their career. I'm not in any way suggesting. I'm just saying that within that ecosystem, work was always on the table with those women when he was manipulating them.
Completely, yes.
So that's why this is also an interesting moment. But part of the problem is, and again, with the same with these women and how why it's hard to build a case and get people to come forward, is what is the cost to your life? How miserable do you want to be while you go through the proceedings? And that's usually what they do is they harass you out of doing it. Or in this case, they try to, you know, they try to just sort of
create distance.
Yeah. Or what they're really doing is they're just trying to appease her. So they told her she was right and that they were going to do something, but that they couldn't tell. And HR, by the way, they're never honest about anything.
Yeah. They're to protect the company, not the person.
Everybody is telling everybody everything. And you think you're talking to them confidentially and you're not, just so you know. But they didn't do anything to this guy. They told him to stop misbehaving and they gave him a slap on the wrist and that was it. And so there's two possibilities here. One is if you really want that old job back, you can speak to an employment, and I don't know if it's an employment attorney or whatever it is, and you can say to them, this thing happened, this is how they handled it, and I'm upset that he doesn't seem to have been punished, and I effectively was, and that's not right. And you'll probably end up with a settlement from the company and not working at the company anymore. Maybe they'll fire him, but also maybe that causes bad blood within the group and people have a problem with you. These are possibilities. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying there are risks inherent. Yeah. You sound like a very nice person who is very concerned about other people. It sounds like you have great sympathy for this wife, even though you're not, even though you were also harmed by this man in some way, but that you have sympathy for her in her position. You have to find a way to have a little less of that. Because in this moment, this is about, you've been unhappy in this job for a little bit, for some time. There is a new opportunity. You think you would be happier in that position. Your husband seems to agree if he's a reliable narrator or if he doesn't. I mean, a lot of husbands just want things to go away. And that's just a very male way of dealing with things, is we dealt with it and it's over and that's fine. But if you want this job, you should absolutely go after this job. And it is not your job in any way. Doesn't mean you can't be nice to her and pleasant and whatever else, but you have to make peace with this yourself. And you have to say, I'm doing this for me. I want to be in this job. I'm going to do my best damn job at this job I can do. And whatever goes on in her personal life is her business. And don't have three cocktails at the work retreat and talk about your marriage and her marriage and what a schmuck he is. And stay out of it. Set a strong boundary from the beginning. These people have done enough damage to you. If you want this job, take it. And you have to find a way, whether it's through therapy or whatever it is, to make peace with the situation and find a way to interact with her in a professional manner and see her as just a coworker. That's what I would say.
Yeah. No, I think those circumstances are
but it will require therapy, because it's hot. There's a trauma here that we're not talking about.
And what you want to say to someone,
we're trying to brush under the rug and we can't.
Exactly. And what you want to say to someone so badly is like, and I know that it's
the marriage not going to last anymore.
Exactly. I predict that marriage is over soon. It's going to be a bigger mess than any of this.
Yeah.
Not to take anything away from the groping incident, because I've been in situations where like someone at work sexually harassed me. And just knowing they might have to call you or be around them, it's just like, it's traumatic. It sucks.
But it's more important that she take herself out of the husband's line of fire.
Yes.
Then it's the lesser of two evils to be working with the wife than to be working with the husband. Yeah.
It's true. And it's a very personal decision. You might not want to put yourself out there or go through the heartache and trauma that this would bring. But I mean, yeah, I think you're right, Ronna. Get into therapy, take this new job and or like lawyer up and just get rid of it.
And you don't have to be super aggressive with the lawyer thing, but I think the company deserves to be put on notice about this.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that this is actually quite a good moment with what's going on with Javi, because they will absolutely be looking to take care of this ASAP.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have a little opportunity here
to
make this right.
People are paying attention now to that sort of thing, that there are actual repercussions.
Yeah.
Okay. What is this? Is this one we want to do?
Because
we have another one on here, or we can do this.
Well, this is a quick, it's a long read, but it's a quick answer. Okay. Now, this guy is a longtime listener and a longtime fan. I happen to know for a fact. Dear Ronna and Brian, last September, after a trip and fall accident, I underwent emergency patella tendon repair surgery on both knees.
Jeez.
This resulted in a week stay in the hospital, followed by more than a week at a rehabilitation hospital, and then about a week convalescing at my parents' house in Burlington. For Brian's benefit, that's a town about 12 miles northwest of Boston. Before return,
is that where they make the jackets?
The Burlington Coat Factory.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. And the Burlington Mall. It's also where Amy Poehler is from.
You're kidding.
Before returning to my parents' apartment in Boston's South End, followed by 3 months of medical leave from work. Since the accident, everyone in my life, it seems, has been absolutely delightful. My local network of friends and neighbors stepped up to feed my cat and keep her company. Friends and family continuously visited me in the hospital and rehab, brought me snacks, gifts, and other little things to cheer me up. A group of very close friends gave up apple picking on a gorgeous fall Sunday to spend time with me in the rehabilitation hospital in Woburn and wheel me out onto the hospital's patio so we could chat and have an all-around good afternoon. Ronna, as a native New Englander, I have no doubt that you understand how valuable those sunny, warm fall days are.
New England in the fall.
Nothing like it.
Beautiful.
My coworkers have been fantastic. They went out of their way to help me organize my medical leave and supplemental disability insurance benefits, updated me on what's going on in our department, and even all got together to send me a get well card and a gift card of a pretty significant value. Even the management at my swimming pool contacted me.
You're a very active person.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. To see if I was okay and offered to extend my membership expiration to a date equal to the time of my absence. In fact, in addition to friends, family, and colleagues, pretty much everyone I have encountered along the way has been great. From the MBTA bus drivers who would always make sure boarding and alighting the bus was as easy and stress-free as possible, to the T passengers who would stand to offer me a seat on the bus or subway, to the strangers ahead of me who would make sure to hit the automatic door open buttons to make it easier to enter some buildings. and to the people who would give me. It's sounding like the answer was he wanted us to read the letter.
It sounded like the answer was I have Munchausen and I'm milking this for all I can, and the act was based on my life.
P.S. I have a swimmer's build. We get it.
And to the people who do automatic door buttons to make it easy to enter some buildings, and to the people who would give way to me as I hobbled down the sidewalk on my crutches.
I hope the question is, how do I not recover so that this can continue?
A random stranger even helped me with my shopping one day at my local Star Market. She pushed the shopping carriage for me. My recovery and subsequent physical therapy have been going very well, and it continues. I weaned off the crutches last week after 5 months of being dependent on them, but I'm still rebuilding strength in my legs. I'm at about 85% done with my recovery, and I feel like I need some way to pay back at least some of the kindness that was extended to me in my time of need. While I know that I can't get a gift for each individual, I would like to get or do something in thanks for my friends, family, and coworkers, and even the community in general for the grace and kindness extended to me. But I feel like I owe way more for the generosity displayed to me than I can ever give back in return. Can you offer me any suggestions? All the best, Neil Gaffey.
Signed, Gypsy Rose.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I think that you could, at work, did this person say where they work?
No, but they have an office.
They have an office.
Yeah.
I think you could, at the very least, like, have a lunch catered for your office or something like that.
Have a truck.
Yeah, something truck. Like, it nice. Seems like you could do something
a truck.
Like that.
They don't know what that means, because that's a Hollywood thing, trucks.
Oh, they don't have those in Boston?
Well, not. People like don't do we that. Do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind.
No, but tell them, because it's a fun thing to
know. Well,
it's
just like someone will, you'll be at work on set or wherever, or even at offices, and they'll have like the grilled cheese truck or some great food truck come.
Yeah, come for
or
an
a coffee
hour
truck,
or two.
Ice cream truck.
It seems like
it's free.
It's, you know what else I love that they actually
do? What do you mean it's free?
I mean, they someone else pays for it, like
on when they bring it to a set or something.
Yeah, but
I
mean, he would have to pay for it.
He would have to pay for it. So I'm letting the people that would enjoy it know it'd be free for that.
Oh. Also, along those lines, I love it when places like that do like 2 hours of like an actual coffee bar, which is the same sort of thing where they come in and they make any coffee drink you want.
Mm. Yeah,
I think people appreciate that sort of thing. That might be nice for your office. For the strangers on the subway, you're just going to have to stalk them. I don't know what to tell you. For the people who push the buttons for you?
I'll tell you why I wanted to read this letter.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's a very life-affirming letter in a lot of ways. Mm. It sounds to me either you're a crazy Munchausen Gypsy Rose like these two are suggesting, or you're a nice guy. And everyone in your life,
I know you're a nice
guy.
That's a nice feeling.
And what you should take away from this is that people were delighted to help you because you're a nice guy and they wanted to go out of your way to do something for them. And it makes, in some ways, truly, and I know this sounds like, you know, when somebody forgets to buy somebody a present for Christmas, this is what they say. But in some ways, truly, that was a gift to them. To be able to, it feels good to be able to help a friend in need, especially a friend you love, and especially someone who's nice to you all the time. Because people that are nice all the time sometimes don't take things in response very well.
And I also have to say, like, when someone is infirmed in some way, and you go and spend time with them or bring them something, I think... I don't know that people expect a thank you for that. They might expect an acknowledgement of that. Like, thank you for being there for me during a really difficult time. I think they think, but I don't know. Like, when I've been through a hard time and someone has done, I've never actually been through this kind of thing.
They felt great that they could do it.
Yeah.
They wanted to spend the afternoon with you. Otherwise, they would have stopped by the rehab, dropped off a Dunkin' Donuts coffee on their way to apple picking.
You must be a really good person.
You're a nice guy.
Exactly. Yeah. People seem to really like
you. The bus driver remembers you and likes you.
Yeah.
You say thank you when people do things for you. And coming from Boston and being a Bostonian, there is a civility. I know Boston gets a bad rap for racism and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But there is a civility in that city. And one of the things that we love is to be able to help a person out when you can see that they need a little moment, when they're having a moment. It makes you feel like a good citizen. And so in some ways, a lot of this is no strings attached. You said thank you. Do you want to bring the bus driver? If it's the same bus driver on your same route every week or whatever it is, you want to bring her a chocolate bar or a thing of flowers, she'd probably fall over. She couldn't believe anybody did something nice for her.
It's true.
For your office, You should either take everybody out for a round of drinks at the bar, or you should do what these two are saying for the coffee truck, which is a terrific idea. Get coffee or bring something where you just say, I wanted to buy everybody lunch. Everyone's been so great to me while I was gone. You don't have to spend tons and tons of money, but just do something for them. And it doesn't, or for the people in your family, look, that's the job. They're going to, I mean, hopefully they don't have two ruptured patellas coming anytime soon, any of them.
True.
But this is what your friends and your family are for. You're a good citizen. People like being a good citizen to you. If you want to do a little something nice for this one and that one, that's very nice, but it is certainly not necessary.
Yeah, doing that kind of good is its own
saying
reward
thank
to people.
You. Yeah.
Okay, Sam, now is the time of the show as we're closing.
Now, this is something... Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
No, please. We're doing a giveaway.
Great.
And we do it to... a person that we think really deserves it from these people who've asked us questions. But first, we have to find out what the giveaway is. Rana, what is
so
it?
So you know who to give it to.
Right. I listened to the pod. I love it.
This week, we're giving away an item which I purchased several months ago just because I loved it. And it's been on our giveaway shelf. And now it's really quite a prescient purchase, it turns out. And probably we could sell it on the open market for thousands of dollars at
You're
this point.
You're not wrong.
Aesop, who we know we love from our hand soap.
The best.
We could also give away a hand soap, but...
Both are useful.
They make a hand sanitizer in the same scent as the hand soap.
Oh, forget it.
And a few months ago, I thought this is too small of a gift for the giveaway.
Not anymore.
Because it's just a little bottle of hand sanitizer. And now this is the time, I think, Brian, to give away a luxury hand sanitizer.
This.
I can't believe we're doing this.
No, this is gold. This is liquid gold.
If I change my mind, we'll send them the resurrection soap.
Okay, which is also very useful.
Yeah. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
So, Sam.
Yes.
Brian, give us the review of who we could possibly give this to.
You got it. Okay, so we could give this to...
our first caller, who's the mother with the...
Bobby.
The books, Bobby.
Correct. The... person in Italy who's sharing a room with someone they hate, the wet divorcee, or the woman
or
who in this horrible job situation.
Right.
What
or,
is
or yeah,
and
Neil Gaffey.
Neil's
or Neil Gaffey. That's right. Yeah. I feel like people have done enough nice things to him. But
Neil,
we could jump on that, I guess.
Well, it's between Bobby and the woman with the job situation.
Okay. So Bobby, just to refresh, is the one, I don't remember what she needed.
Her mother is being homophobic
books.
About
yeah.
The books for the kids.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's just because she knew who I was, but I, with the personal connection, I feel like her.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like
she's just giving
nice
things.
Little...
You're just giving things away to fans to keep them going, Sam?
No, I don't need to do that. I just feel like there was a personal connection in terms of you hear a person's voice, I feel more empathy.
Okay.
The woman in the corporate thing, clearly she's got a great job. I think one of the reasons she's there, she's making good money. So let's just give it to Bobby.
You like Bobby. Sam, who do you like, Brian?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, the person who could probably use it the most is in Italy, but I don't even know if we can get
we
anything
can't get
over
it
there.
To him. We can't get it to him. He's got to just stick his face now in vodka.
I mean, for me,
the next 2 weeks.
For me, it's the same. It's between Bobby and the woman in the awful situation at her job.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she could do a psychosomatic thing where every time she puts it on, she feels strong,
empowered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Like the Pavlovian thing you said. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was thinking, is that she could take a sniff and that would give her courage before she wipes her hands off, and then gives her courage before she goes into the 27 different meetings she's going to have when she's
like
trying to get this job going.
And just know you're right.
But maybe we'll send Bobby a resurrection hand soap, because she has a toddler and she has to wash her hands all the time, and
And she's with older people, too.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll have two winners this week.
Oh, so Bobby's getting the soap and...
and
workplace
is getting the hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Rana, you are feeling very,
very generous today. Well, I just want mostly everybody to stay clean.
You're right. It's actually a service to the world.
Okay.
We have a cliffhanger we're going to do, Sam, before we let you go.
So, Sam, we're on Patreon now. I don't know if you've heard.
Oh, no, I know. I love it.
We are having so much fun.
You can't. It's such an intimate experience.
It really is. It's very exclusive.
It's just Brian and I.
It's $5.
And since Brian's been living in the carriage house under quarantine, it's gotten even more outrageous.
Because we're getting more personal with each other.
Yeah. I mean,
unlike Italy, you guys are getting along.
We're
separate houses.
Clean. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
She keeps it very,
Could you think of a better place to be under
quarantine?
For COVID-19,
not at all.
No.
I would love to be here.
Yeah.
This is the place. Okay.
So we read a cliffhanger, and then we answer it on Patreon.
And before that, it's at JSamPancake everywhere. Is it Sam Pancake?
It's JSamPancake on Twitter and TheSamPancake on Instagram. Thank you.
And you've heard about our Waze. Have you downloaded our Waze yet?
No, I learned about that today.
Yeah. Now, so this, on Patreon.
Which is, if this you, is the most exclusive thing.
Most people use Waze, but most people don't use Waze with Ron and Brian's voices.
If you want to hear us guide you around town.
Patreon only, Patreon exclusive, patreon.com/AskRonna. And I can't stress enough to people, if you're nervous about, I don't want to get the Patreon app, I don't want to listen on the Patreon app, because I do think it feels like a barrier to entry. It's once you figure it out, it's the easiest thing in the world. You click the RSS link, you add it right to your Apple Podcasts or your Overcast or whatever you're listening to, and you never have to think about it again.
Yep.
But if you are interested, we do post on Patreon every week, and that's where people are chatting with each other about the episodes, and posting the pictures of the book club and posting the ways there and whatever other fun things we have going on. Okay.
We have, we sort of have a choice of cliffhangers. Should I just pick one and go?
Sure.
Okay.
Pick the most cliffhangery one.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Pick the one you love.
Dear Ronna and Brian, proud Carriage House member here, writing for advice on navigating a vexing issue with a friend.
So we know this person will get the answer, so that's good.
That's true.
Yeah.
Said friend is a former boss. Okay, who became one of my closest friends. She's someone I've long admired, and although we see each other somewhat infrequently, she's the sort of friend who would drop whatever to be there if I needed her, and that's true in the reverse. It's
terrific.
A low-maintenance friendship, and one I deeply value. The problem is, when we make dinner plans, 3 out of 4 times she'll text me the day of and let me know her partner will be joining us. There's no, would you mind? Instead, it's just a stated fact. A news alert. A couple things to note. Her partner is a prickly and high-maintenance personality who doesn't like a lot of people. I've been told I'm one of the few people she actually likes and with whom she lets her hair down. I'm flattered, but I also value one-on-one time with my friend. I get a different version of her when her partner is at dinner with us. It's not a third-wheel situation, more of a front-row seat to low-grade dysfunction and tension one.
Oh, we've all been there. Yeah.
I know I should just
when
use my
say,
word.
Why don't you tell him what you did last week?
Yep.
Yeah.
I know I should just use my words and just say,
tell us what you think of this. They'd love to play Judge Judy with you at dinner. Yeah.
As much as I love spending time with, I know I should use my words and just say, as much as I love spending time with your partner, Cordelia, phone name, I really would love for it to be just you and me more often than it's not. But the thought of doing that makes me want to shave off my eyebrows. I'm not sure if it's because at one time she was my boss and that dynamic is forced and encrypted, or if it's because I don't want to disappoint her by rejecting Cordelia. I tend to be direct and I don't cower from confrontation, but this was a tough one. Any advice on how to handle with an elegant touch? Thanks so much. Kiss, kiss, name withheld.
I think this is a great question because I think people find themselves in this situation all the time.
Wait till it's your in-laws.
Okay.
All right.
Join us on Patreon for the answer. Patreon.com/AskRonna. Sam Pancake.
You're just a dream.
You are.
Also, if you have 6 hours to kill, just go through his IMDb. He's literally been on every show ever existed.
If you're looking for things to watch, go to IMDb Sam Pancake and then watch everything
on that list. And if his voice is driving you crazy right now, you'll go to the thing. You'll be like, oh, that guy. That's right.
Yeah.
And his podcast. Tell Sam your podcast.
Yeah, Sam Pancake presents a Monday afternoon movie. We also have a Patreon. You can find it wherever.
Lucky enough to be in Los Angeles when we're live Golden Girls. And I mean, you do so many
shows.
But September's the next one.
Yes,
September.
You can't miss it. You should, the minute the tickets are announced, which will be on your social.
All of
it. I feel like by September, we'll be able to be in groups again.
This one sitting in front row with Paget Brewster one night.
Oh, yeah.
Ronna?
Well, you know, Paget and I are very close.
Oh, yeah. It's star-studded.
Before your time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well.
She's never there without like a famous person. I'm not kidding.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
They love the show.
Yeah.
I brought Justin Kirk.
Yeah.
I brought Paget.
That's great.
Yeah.
Ronna, maybe the next time you come, okay.
But we're spending so much time together in my
I know, but sometimes there's an empty condo available in my complex and they'll rent it out. So you could just stay in that.
And then we'll walk over to the Silver Lake show from there.
It's walkable. Yeah.
Okay, I'll think about it.
All right. Okay. And I think it's just, I mean, the furniture's fairly, it's all, you know, it's all like whatever.
Yeah, I'll take it under consideration.
Okay, thanks, Rana.
Okay, we can use the pool together and that guy can hit on both of us in his Sondheim t-shirt.
Mike's Hard Lemonade. Yeah.
And offers him Mike's
Hard Lemonade.
And in his
Sondheim t-shirt. There's a guy in a Sondheim t-shirt who's 100,000 years old who offers me Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's like Call Me By Your Name while I'm swimming.
Lucky, very lucky man.
All right. All right, Sam. Kiss.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of 4Play.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to 4Play Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.